Welcome to today's podcast, It's Worth Considering. Does it seem to you that life is a bit out of control? Well, if you think so, you're not alone. This podcast is to help all of us consider the teachings of Christ, even in these confusing times. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. My co-host for this discussion is Daniel Anderson. This is the first in a two-part series of The Signs of the Times. It will not be what you might think. We are living in some crazy times, and there are signs to indicate it. I'm sitting outside looking over the lake. It is a beautiful day, almost kind of a fallish day, and you're up there in Grand Rapids, and
I'm sitting in my upstairs room, and I'm staring at the corner. So anyway, good for you. I'm really happy for you, brother.
No, we have a lot to talk about today. Yesterday we kind of touched base and we were going over things. And I'm thinking, you know, I should have recorded our earlier conversation because it was leading us into quite a few different things in which we're going to be talking about today. And so what are some of the things we want to discuss?
Well, the one thing I know that we happened upon was we use the word in a very wide sense, but the word signs, and like Jesus said, you know, do you not know the signs of the times?
And it seems
that as the world's getting crazier, that we have reason to want to be aware of what's going on. Well, then how are we supposed to know these signs? Is this some kind of mystical intuition, or is this just a matter of, you know, we know how to read the news and, you know, we can connect the dots and kind of understand a general pattern like any business person does when they do a projection for the future?
What kind of signs are we talking about? You're right. I mean, there are so many signs that are going on today, at least for many people. I mean, I think of my kids, and some of them are completely oblivious to the things I'm like looking at and thinking, oh, can you see what's going on? And they're going, no, what do you mean?
Yeah. No, that's so common. It's so pervasive. I mean, what I do worry about that, though, is like Jesus said, it will be as in the times of Noah, marrying and giving in marriage, and to where we can get so wrapped up in our daily lives that we're not, as most people aren't, you know, reading the signs. Maybe I think I'm reading the signs and I'm connecting the dots wrong and I'm all screwed up. But anyway, no, I'm quite sure it's October 21st that Jesus is coming back. of this year.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be at about 12:45 if I got my calculations
right. Well, good. I hope you have your calculations, because I hate for you to miss the rapture.
Well, I don't believe in that, so I'm not worried about that. But I,
you are a good Catholic boy. You will not bend on that, will you?
Well, I mean, we talked about that earlier. We do believe in the rapture. Just when is it? That's all.
Yeah, exactly. That Christ will return, and you just it'll be at the very end.
That's what I think, yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned something I thought was really quite interesting. You said that, the way you put it was that if you were a businessman and you were looking at investing, you want to make sure that you're following the right signs in the stock market and in the business world to make sure that you are, well, you're investing right and that you're not going to be behind, but you're going to be on time.
Yeah, some people are really good at that, reading trends, you know, and they're forecasting where they think a market will be 5 years from now, and based on that, they're investing or making business decisions and then making a lot of money on it. So is this what we mean by following signs, you know? I mean, that's got to be part of it. It's just
it is. I think it is. It's,
you know, facts.
Right. I'm talking about sitting outside. It's a beautiful, it's really, this after this weekend, it's going to be the fall, but you know, by looking at the signs, the trees' leaves are starting to turn. There's kind of a coolness in the air. The evenings are cooler. And you know, well, guess what? These are the signs of the times. The seasons are changing.
Yeah.
But when we
look, there's a prophet. A prophet said that.
Said what?
His name is Bob Dylan. Times, they are a-changing.
The signs are a-changing. They're written on the subway walls. Is that the same one or is that a different one?
But I think that was it. I can sing it for you if you want.
No. We're going to hold off, and okay, when we need a commercial break, we'll allow you to come breaking in with in song. But
Oh, that'd be awesome.
All right, so we're looking at signs. I mean, if you watch the internet, depending, you know, YouTube shorties or YouTubes just in general, you're going to see a lot of people who are saying, listen, we are in the end times. Here are the signs. You know, artificial intelligence. You look what's going on over in Israel. You know, you look at the United States and, you know, are we under a great delusion? Is there deception going on? So.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when.
I mean, I have no question whatsoever, but that Satan is very active and a whole lot of evil is going on. And whether that's simply like, hey, in America, the hedge of protection is being removed because of our sin, or because, yeah, we're actually entering the end times. These are the birth pangs, and they're coming closer and closer together. Like, where did Paul or John, I forget.
Yeah.
One of the Beatles, anyway.
But, you know, you're right. So the apostles, they wanted to know, when was Christ going to return? What are the signs? I mean, I think every generation, I think every person who's waiting with anticipation for the coming of Christ is wanting to know, how much longer are we there? Is it going to be any moment now?
Right. Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, it just, I don't know how, for people are so propagandized that they're even, like the communists said, that with their propaganda program that they get one generation through an education program of theirs, which I now think they have successfully done, Americans will not be able to make the most common sense decisions of in their own interest. And I think that is where we are. So I think, I mean, even if, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday about the as-if reasoning and the what-if reasoning, and just real common sense stuff, you know, I mean, as-if reasoning, where you realize, gosh, given all these circumstantial evidence, it's almost as if this person committed this crime, right?
Right.
The husband took out this big assurance policy, and then it turns out he kept visiting this other woman's house, and then it turns out people are saying that they were arguing a lot more, and then, gosh, she just disappeared. We don't have a body, we don't have a weapon, but, you know, it's almost as if, you know, he killed her. Yeah.
And so we're looking at
this is common sense, right? You can't do a law court without that. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean you're committed to it. But it does give you a direction in which initially to pursue facts, right?
Sure, absolutely. So the defense is trying to create reasonable doubt as it, you know, in their narrative. The prosecution is saying, listen, we don't have a body, but this is what we do know. And it appears as though, well, it's the husband, right? It's always the husband.
Yeah. Most.
But the as if. So we see this in our everyday life, and I think human nature is kind of prone to that, is that as if. But when we take this and then we look into the signs of the times, meaning, you know, are we approaching the end where Christ shall return, and what are some of the as ifs? You know, what's going on in the world?
Yeah, I guess one of them maybe is the prediction of the great apostasy, and perhaps that is being carried out. I mean, it certainly is in America, where people, at least they're dropping out of organized religion. They don't seem to have a problem with, like, organized education or organized hospitals or organized motorcycle training or whatever. That's the human endeavor, is to organize and help each other. But anyway,
but when it comes to religion, so spirituality should be free, right? Free. And
we shouldn't
be organized. It should be anyone's truth. And
Check it out. Yeah.
But that goes against human nature.
Check everything out for yourself. Yeah. Yeah. So it's, but that's a sign, is, are we under a great falling away? I mean, if you look at China even, or I guess, you know, some parts in Central America, Africa, I hear actually in some places there's tremendous revivals breaking out. So maybe I'm not right there.
Which is interesting. I mean, we're kind of you wonder if you look at the history of Europe as they kicked God out and secularism moved in, then you saw the deterioration of society. The United States has been down that same road. It seems to have taken quite longer that we are, in fact, more cognizant of a presence of God than well, people in Europe, or and we have been for a long time, even though organized religion seems to be taking a back burner. But hey, when you talked about it and you mentioned like the birth pains, right, they will become more intense and they will become more frequent. And
right.
And is it not what we're experiencing in some ways here? Some of the, you know, the Great Delusion, and we're taken in by such ridiculous ideologies. And
right.
And then you look
Yeah.
And then you mention like Africa, and you see revivals going on in China and North Korea and stuff like that. And the gospel there is taken off in many ways. And
Yeah, so I'm not committed to the idea that for sure, yep, we're in the end times now and, you know, calculating it and all that. But also, I think anybody who's too ready to shut that door and say, no way, come on, it's been thousands of years, give me a break. You know, church has thought many times it's the end times, and they're wrong every time. So,
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't want to be in that camp either. Where they're saying, Maranatha, come soon, Lord Jesus. We look forward to your return. No, people like that with that attitude, they need to be more skeptical of their skepticism. So I don't want to be that far out either.
Yeah, and we're told, we are told that we should be observant. We should know the signs of the times. But with that said, we're not to be so captivated by them. We're not to be spellbound by them, that's all we are looking for. Kind of like the disciples were, right? That's what they always wanted. That's the question that they wanted Jesus to answer. What's the sign?
Yeah, but and they did it with joy, though, often. We're supposed to be, do that with joy. Like, I mean, our attitude should be, oh, my goodness. Can you believe what's going on? I mean, for me, you know, within the Catholic Church, it's under, you know, terrible demonic influence right up on the top end also. And so it's like, you know, you could be very depressed about this as a Catholic right now, but...
And you're talking talking about a lot of the higher-ups, you're talking about the Pope and some bishops and the agenda that's being pushed, which is against the doctrine of the Catholic Church in many ways.
Oh, yeah. Well, even one of the popes, I forget, you know, around the 1880s, I think, right around there. I don't want to say his name, I'm not positive, but anyway. He fell, they thought he was dead, and turned out he was having a vision, and it was of Satan talking with God, saying, I can totally destroy your church. And God said, no, you can't. And he said, well, you know, what do you need? He said, well, give me a lot more latitude and time. He said, how about 100 years and a lot more ability to influence, you know, the people in the hierarchy. And God said, okay. So whenever that clock started, who knows? But, you know, I mean, we look now and later, John Paul VI, after Vatican II, he said the smoke of Satan has entered the Vatican. And we look presently at our own, you know, at the Pope Francis and the medallion that he wears. It's a picture of Jesus with his foot backwards. That's a sign of a demon. And there are other signs where the sheep on there, half of them very, quite clearly appear as pigs. And you look where his papal authority is, where he sits, and very obviously the architecture is designed as a serpent's head. So do I think that, you know, Satan has entered the Vatican and is wanting to use it, along with all kinds of other means worldwide, to lead people into apostasy? Yeah, I think he's doing it right now.
So, I mean, and
does that mean it's the end times right now? I don't know, but another sign to me.
The beginning of times, but you're right. And I think what you bring up here is a very important piece, and that is the spiritual warfare in which we are engaged in the United States. So it's very easy for Christians to say, you know, I really don't believe in this whole, you know, demonic world and its influence. And I'm just going to be a good person. I'm just going to do what's right. I'm just going to be morally upright as much as I can. And they don't realize, no, we are in a spiritual warfare. So what you just described about the Pope having the vision, and we look into Scripture, we see conversations like that in the book of Job, where Satan has a conversation with Job, and it's kind of very similar. Say, hey, have you considered my servant Job?
Yeah.
And the devil says, yeah, but you know, you got a hedge of protection around it. Give me some latitude, like the word you use, and I can show you what I can do.
Yeah. Yeah, and so there's another kind of sign. I mean, we've been talking about signs like commonsensically, like wouldn't any business person use, you know? But there then would be a sign of the supernatural. So I do believe in 1 Corinthians 12 and the charismatic gifts still are for today. I'm not a cessationist. So yes, I do believe, you know, people will have visions and dreams and tongues and interpretation and words of knowledge and all this kind of discernment of spirits. I believe in all that.
Sure. I mean, have like that's what Peter said. Peter said the same thing on the day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago. So why wouldn't it also exist today?
You know? Yeah, I believe it does. And there's, I mean, there's, miracles, you know. I mean, if you look at the 700 Club and go into some of their old archives or whatever, I mean, they got thousands of stories documented by doctors of people who, you know, through prayer were miraculously healed. Medicine has no explanation for it. And this sort of thing is just ignored, but it's happened everywhere. I mean, not like it's super common, but I mean, there's tons of evidence for it if you look outside the box. And just like with the news, you know, like we're saying, like especially young people typically have no clue really of so many things that we tend to bring up. Why? Because they get their news from what in my book is just absolute propaganda. If all you're listening to is mainstream news, even if it's, you know, PBS, NPR, ABC, CBS, you know, Fox News, blah, 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 you're absolutely under a propaganda machine. I have no doubt about that. You get some things that you can piece together there, but
well, that's where social media has really had its footprint, and because you can look and find a lot of people who have an alternative message that, you know, what's going on in Israel, what's going on, you know, you look at Jonathan Cahn and his books and stuff like, you know, he talks about the similarities as we've talked in the previous podcast. As Israel was, so the United States is as well. And we're following a very close historical track. And so there is, but so often, and I think I'm most concerned about people who are, well, I'm concerned about people who just go and look for boogeymen around every corner, all right? But right. I'm also concerned by the person who says, ah, you know, there isn't a spiritual battle. This is all material. And and God uses only medicine and all the things of times past, which we attributed to the demonic world, is psychology. You know, it's how the human brain operates. It's the chemistry.
Yeah, there is that real danger. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's my concern for them as well. Exactly. Is that?
Yeah, as Americans, too, with the philosophy that we've been under, where, you know, first there's Descartes. You know, with the Renaissance came an emphasis toward humanism, and certainly that appeared in the Catholic Church under, you know, the wealthy patrons there.
Hey, do me a favor, explain what you mean by humanism. It's a term that's used quite often, but maybe people aren't that familiar with it.
Well, just in the Renaissance period, you know, before that, things were so much more, you know, what they call the Age of Faith, were so much more God-oriented. Our purpose is being under God, glorifying Him. But then in the humanist time came back much more the earthly, the real. Some of that was good, you know, like where Calvin and some of the reformers and others were emphasizing the, in Erasmus, you know, who's a Catholic, emphasizing the importance of getting back to the Hebrew languages. You know, Jerome did that around 400, but they were going back to the Greek and the Roman original languages. And the
Hebrew. So they're going to be more studious and less superstitious, or more studious?
Well, that's the take. I mean, I think some of that stuff is kind of a self-myth that's been written by the conquerors. But anyway, they certainly got more into the original languages and then more focused on Earth and this life, so more impetus toward the sciences. And so, you know, there's some good things in humanism. There's Christian humanism, and that's wonderful. But as that progression continued, like through Descartes, and we relied much more on our reasoning,
and
we headed more toward deism.
Yeah, when you talk about humanism, it's like humans putting us first. You know, it's like, it's, again, the old sin of the Tower of Babel. Let's see what we can do under our own power. we'll be able to reach the heavens. In other words, we're going to be equal with God. There's nothing that God does that we're not going to be able to understand or do. And
so then it went farther into, you know, Kant. And then John Locke, who, of course, had everything to do with our Constitution, and Thomas Jefferson, you know, who was a deist. And so within America, we have so much to be thankful for. But at the same time, there certainly is this undercurrent right from our inception of leading us right into modernism, scientism, you know, that type of materialism, to where, you know, that's a perfect hideout for Satan. It's like, that's perfect. Nobody believes in me anymore.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In the shadows. He doesn't have to expose himself. There's no reason to do that because he is able to accomplish exactly what he wanted from the very beginning, the Garden of Eden, and that was to turn man away from God.
Right.
You know, he was already a fallen creature, but now he wants to take God's glory, the creation of man, and turn him against his creator. And what better way to do than... And not to expose himself, but says, oh, you guys are so smart. You know, and that's what, that was the whole temptation with Eve, was he beguiled her. It wasn't her beauty, it was her intelligence. What was she comparing herself to? Other women? There were no other women. It was intelligence. Right. She was learning and growing, and so he beguiled her and says, you're smart. Think about this.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That way, where nobody's in a position to read signs because they're not looking for them, because they're all happy with their own, you know, daily pleasures and pursuits and pride and,
you know,
intelligence.
Just the idea that we're talking about signs demonstrates that there is a demonic world. So, because what is, if you take that element out, what signs are there? There are no signs, you know, just the signs of nature and materialism. But when we look at things, powers that are starting to show themselves, we're seeing an increase in depression, we're seeing an increase that all these things that, well, guess what, medical science in the pharmaceutical companies say, well, we can help, but they can't solve those problems.
Right. Yeah, we're focused in as though all that matters and all there is to life is the imminent, the world, the universe, the physical, that's it. But no, we're designed for more than that. We're designed for a relationship with God, who's transcendent, who's before time, who's outside of time. So unless we're connected with that, take all the drugs you want and all the therapy you want and, you know, get new toys, whatever, it's not going to suffice.
It doesn't.
The God-sized hole in our heart, you know?
Oh, my, you hit it right on the head. You were looking for a sign? Look at us, America. Yeah. We are the most prosperous nation that has ever existed. The common man has more available to him with freedom and pleasure than any other society has ever had. And yet we are the most miserable.
Yeah.
We got to have more, 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 and more. A sign that there is something missing, an emptiness. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely.
Well, thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the first in the series, The Signs of the Times. We hope you continue to tune in and don't drop out as we continue with this conversation that makes a difference in our lives. Until then, go out as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in need, in desperate need of the gospel. God bless.